Okay. Suffice it to say, we didn't really finish this morning's sessions, really, but I'll just finish it up now. Talking really about opening up the gates of our soul and dealing with the things that block our soul. And I talked about, actually, I went back through all the different years of my life, and you know, I remember Ian Clayton teaching about this, and it struck me, you know, he learned how to do it. It took him several years. He passed that revelation on. It took me a few months. It's like once we have revelation, things accelerate. And what I did was in each year, I took each of those gates and I asked God to show me what was blocking them. So my conscience gate, I asked him, what sin have I committed that has dulled my conscience? You know, and I actually thought, well, you know, I've confessed all my sin, I'm sure I have, you know, blah, blah. Because the flesh doesn't really like to admit things. You know, it doesn't like to admit, well, actually, there are patterns of sin in your life. So I had to be honest about it and actually ask God to show me. So when he showed me, then I had to deal with it. So I allowed the Spirit of God to bring revelation of the things that had dulled my conscience, and then I dealt with that in that year. And after a few years of dealing with each gate, so I dealt with conscience and reason, imagination, the heart and the other bits, emotions and will. So each one of those I asked God to reveal, what is it that's damaged my emotions? What hurts have I not forgiven? Who have I hurt that I have not acknowledged? So, you know, it was a whole process to go through. I did it probably two or three, maybe three or four years sometimes at a time. It was really hard work. You know, I could be honest. I was drained. You know, sometimes I would have loads of things that God would bring to my mind. And other times I would just have a few things, but I would see a pattern that I would repent of. So when I saw my sin, I repented, I renounced it, applied the blood of Jesus to it, and received forgiveness, and cleansing, and righteousness. So, you know, I'd encourage you, it is a process that if you go through, it sharpens up all those areas. It opens the gates, or prepares them to be opened, so that the glory of God can flow through them and use them. See, I want my conscience to be used by God. I want my mind to be used by God. I want my emotions to be used by God. Every one of those gates, I want God to have access to flow through them without hindrance, with my cooperation. So I had to speak to my soul, and I'd speak to my soul every day and tell it to get into line. You know, David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." He was speaking to himself because he didn't really feel like blessing the Lord at the time. So he had to remind himself of all the benefits of God. You know, you have to put your soul into order. So every day I tell my soul, die. You know, so looking at that area of conscience, in those areas of weakness, we have to own them. There are lots of normal, acceptable behaviours that our soul is used to that does not please God and does not help the flow of the Spirit. So God just wants us to admit them. Because he loves us, and we know he loves us, God disciplines those he loves. He doesn't punish those he loves. He disciplines us. He brings us back into godly order. So we allow and surrender God to it. So own it, confess it, repent it, renounce it. Just deal with it. Apply the blood of Jesus to that. Receive forgiveness and cleansing, so there's no guilt, shame and condemnation. If you feel guilt, shame or condemnation, it's because the enemy is lying to you. God's forgiven us. Jesus already dealt with it on the cross. We apply the blood of Jesus and we receive the gift of righteousness. Not earned. See, we're not going through this pattern of opening up these gates to earn brownie points with God, or to make us feel better about ourselves. It's because I opened these gates because I want the glory of God to flow through them. I want a manifestation of God's presence through my life. I want to walk into a room and I change the atmosphere of the room because I carry the presence of the glory of God. You know, I rule and bring the rule of God. I can only do that if there's a flow of heaven flowing through my spirit, soul and body to my sphere or circle of influence. Then God does it. Reverence flows through that conscience gate and protects me and guides me and directs me. That's just one area. So in looking at all these, what I did with these gates, I photocopied four pictures of the gates, and I cut out the red circle and the purple circle and the yellow circle and pinned them all together with a little clip so I could rotate them all, because I wanted to actually see the flow of God's presence through my life, how the Spirit of God can flow through reverence and conscience to my eye gate so it can protect and guard me from what I see and also direct me in what to see, what to look at. It also can flow through the other gates. I think in combination, there's 287, I think, combinations. Anyone who's a mathematician might prove me wrong, but that was my maths. Combinations of how the Spirit of God can flow through my spirit to my soul and my body. And I meditated on each one of them. Took me a while, but I got revelation of how I work. You know, I didn't understand how these things could work until I meditated on it, allowed the Spirit of God to give me revelation on it, and then it started to flow. And the more I cleansed going back through the years of my life, the sharper my conscience got, the clearer my mind got, my emotions were my master, my servant and not my master, and my will was energized to choose to do God's will. So everything started to flow through spirit to my soul and through my body. And then that's when I started to see things in the realm of the spirit through my natural eyes. When I started to hear things, where I started to hear the angelic, see angelic portals open and all that sort of stuff, because everything started to sharpen up. My spirit started to rule. My soul started to surrender and submit. And then God started to manifest. But it does take practice and perseverance. It won't happen overnight. You know, it took me a few months and I was in a position to give a lot of time to it. You know, it can take a while, but I'd encourage you, persevere. Just get these things open so that God can flow through them. Because we want God's presence out into the world around us. We want the kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven through us as a gateway of heaven to earth. Okay, I want to just finish this section by running through some prayers and some things you can pray to specifically open the gates. Because all the other stuff is really just preparation. You've got to then look at those gates and open them. So first one, Jesus is knocking on the door. The handle is on our side. Open it every day. Open the first love gate and allow God to have first place and first priority in your life. That gate is often blocked because we get emotionally damaged in that area of first love. Now for me, I dealt with a lot of that in my life already, so I didn't really have any problem opening the gate. But I know I've talked to other people, they've seen the gate covered in brambles, covered in locks, can't even get at it. Because the enemy does not want you to open that. The enemy does not want the Spirit of God in your life, that Father and the Son active in your spirit, energizing you and directing you. So they'll try and keep it closed. And if you've been damaged and hurt emotionally, you may not trust God to take control of your life. And we've got to be honest, all of us have been damaged emotionally. We've all been rejected, we've all been hurt, we've all had things that have happened to us that have caused us to put barriers and guard and protect ourselves. With God, because He loves us, we've got to remove those barriers and choose to surrender and open the gate and allow Him in. Then we need to open those spirit gates. So start meditating on them. In faith, speak. Say, okay, I'm going to focus on today, let's say the reverence gate. Lord, I want you to energize through that gate. Show me what is your heart. Show me what is anything that will bring disrepute to you or disrespect to you. Any of my attitudes, any of the things that I do, any of the things I say which will offend you. And direct me. So we're asking God to open and flow through it. And it's all through relationship of intimacy. None of this works if you're in fear. You know, if it's like, well, I better do this because God won't love me. God loves you anyway. Love is the basis of everything with God. He is love. But he loves us too much to allow us to stay the same. That's why he's challenging us to be more like he created us to be rather than we've been shaped by the world to be. So I need to surrender my spirit to God. Give him complete free rein over it. Make him Lord of my life. That sounds really easy. When it comes to do it, that's when the soul starts to kick off. Because it doesn't like being surrendered. So you can pray in tongues, see yourself standing in the gates. You know, if you can activate your imagination, activate it. See yourself standing in the gates, opening it, welcoming the presence of God, flowing through the different gates so that they're active and the Spirit is moving through those things. They will be more active in certain areas because of who you are and what your gift is. That's perfectly okay. Not everyone does everything. We need to find out what God has called us to do and begin to flow in it. A simple prayer. Father, I choose to open the gate of revelation in my spirit. I open it, yield it to your glory. I receive and release the power of God through this gate. I begin to receive revelation of your kingdom so that it will change my soul into the image of the Son of God who abides in me. Find words for yourself. Start off using someone else's words. I started off using some of Ian Clayton's words. Then I found some of my own. Because I found my spirit started to engage and activate and flow. Find your own things that works for you, but open the gates. Persist until you start to see results. You know, you can work on one gate at a time. For me, I'm greedy, so I want more. I worked on several of them at a go. So I opened up passages of that. For me, God was saying, this is what I want to operate in your life. I want revelation to flow into your reason, because you know I get the thoughts of God appearing in my mind a lot, and you know I do a lot of journaling and a lot of writing down the thoughts of God, and then I go back and I meditate on it and I receive the revelation that comes. When you're journaling, don't try and figure it out, just write it out and then go back over it. And you may need to go to somebody else and talk to them about it, say, what do you think of this? Find someone that you can be accountable to in relationship. Because sometimes it's like, we come out of the flesh. You know, you're not always going to get everything right. But guess what? God doesn't care. He looks at the heart, not the externals. You know, we can do the right thing for the wrong motive and it has no blessing. We can do the wrong thing with the right motive and God loves it. We can make the biggest mess there is with the right heart and he just loves it. Because he's looking at the heart. It frees us up to be who we are without fear. And God wants all this stuff flowing. We have to open the soul gates. So again, act in faith, speak to your soul and surrender control. You know, I surrender the control of my conscience to God every day. And I ask him to, by the Spirit, activate it and keep me safe. And keep me in his will. Take the word of God as the sword of the Spirit and separate your spirit from your soul. Your soul will try and block and control your spirit. So use the word of God to separate it. Use the word of God to set you free. It does take a challenge because the soul doesn't want to be separated. But every day I separate myself so I let the Spirit be in control. You know, you can declare to your soul that you will not motivate me and control me today. And I use that statement loads and loads. Because actually, as much as I've done, my soul still wants to be in charge. You know, it's like, it doesn't die easy. In fact, you have to surrender it every day. You can't do it once and expect it to stay dead. Yes, we died and in our baptism, we died and we went under the water and we come out. But every day you have to reckon yourself dead to sin and alive to God so that the righteousness of God can flow through us. So every day, surrender your soul, surrender your spirit to God and let him rule. The soul does draw life from the spirit if it can. That's why we need to separate it. It also draws from the world, which we looked at this morning. It seeks to control, so we need to break soul ties. Sometimes our soul is tied to areas of our spirit to draw life to its own purposes. We just have to separate those soul ties and break them. Break independence, because this is what it is. Independence is actually being in control of your own life and not having God in control. And we have to break that by surrendering control every day. Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow me. You can't do it once a week and expect to follow him. You've got to do it every day, because there are new mercies every day. They only last for a day. It's like the manna in the wilderness. It lasted for a day, then it went rotten. Fresh mercy is for today. There's grace and mercy and love for today. If you waste it thinking back to yesterday or looking forward to tomorrow, it'll run out. You need to use it for today. Focus on what God's calling you to do today and flow in the Spirit. An example prayer for that conscience gateway. Today I bring my conscience into submission to my spirit. I release the life of God to flow through my spirit, through the gateways of reverence and the fear of God, to a consciousness of God's righteousness and truth. Where my soul has been seared by sin, I take the sword of the Spirit, I cleave the gateway open to allow the flow of God through it, to dictate my actions. Father, make me aware of my actions that I may submit to your authority. Just find words that relate to you and your own life. But these are just examples. Fourth step is take possession of that gateway. Make Jesus Lord. You know, yield it. Get the presence of God in there and allow the blood of Jesus to cleanse it, the glory of God, the fire of God to purify it. You see, the gates are quite small when you first open them. The more they use, God actually widens them so they begin to operate more clearly, more strongly. But to start, we don't expect everything to happen instantly. This is a process of transformation. And it does take time and it takes effort. And if you're willing, you know, it'll work. If you're not willing to put any effort into it, you'll struggle. You know, I went on a crash course because I was desperate. I desperately wanted the flow of God's life through me. So I was desperate. I did whatever it took. You know, pride just went out the window. You know, and I had to admit all sorts of things to God that I didn't want to admit. You know, the potential in my soul is to do terrible things apart from God. But in my spirit has the capacity through my soul to do awesome things for God. Great exploits. In the Spirit, signs, wonders, miracles, all the things that Jesus did, I can do, you can do. But you need to do them the same way as he did, which was a relationship with God inside, allowing God to work through him. If Jesus had a whole load of soul gates all blocked up, he wouldn't have done the miracles. But because he was without sin, he didn't have those blockages, and there was a flow of the Spirit without measure. We have to develop and open those gates so the flow of the Spirit increases and increases and increases until it starts to be without measure for us too. And we can do it if we allow this process to go through. Repent of allowing any demonic spirits access to those gateways. It's like demons love to block our soul gates and to be in control of them. It doesn't really worry me if there's anything demonic. If I didn't have anything demonic in my life, I would be very surprised. You know, any Christian who's never had deliverance has not yet had deliverance, basically. They're there. Familiar spirits operate in all of us. We have to get rid of them and break their power. We do that by surrendering our gates and acknowledging the sin that gives them power. The only reason demons have power is through sin or generational sin. When we deal with the generational sin and our own sin, they have no legal right of access to our life unless we keep giving it to them. So we can apply the blood of Jesus and be cleansed in those areas. When you start trying to open these gates, expect spiritual warfare. Expect to be intimidated. Expect things to kick off. I'm not saying, oh, being faithful that you want it, but actually to be realistic, there is going to be a battle for control. The flesh wrestles against the spirit for control of our life. So we have to expect a battle, but actually we win. If we don't give up, we win. every time. The only reason for losing is you give up and stop. If you persevere, you will overcome because you are an overcomer. That's your identity as a son, a child of God, to be an overcomer who wins, who defeats the enemy, who has the enemy under their feet. So when you have all the whispers and all the little things that speak to you that you think is just you, it isn't. It's familiar things that whisper to you to try and get you to go down the same patterns of thought and behavior that you've always gone down. You have to break the cycles to allow the Spirit of God to lead you. Then you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You'll be flowing in the life of the Spirit. Take back possession of anything that you've given control of, and essentially deal with familiar things. Ian Clayton's got great teaching on familiar spirits. I encourage you to listen to it if you haven't done it. Daily you need to crucify the flesh. Daily you need to reckon yourself dead. I will do teaching, if I get to the end of everything, on how to present yourself as a living sacrifice every day. Because it's something we need to do and learn the revelation of every day. So then you can take authority over the things that are resistant. Take authority over those things and exercise the authority you've got to loose things and cast them out of your life. You can get someone to pray deliverance for you. Great. If you've got someone you know who will pray deliverance and you're willing to tell them what's going on in your life, great. But you can do it yourself. You have authority in your own life. Your spirit has authority over your soul. You just have to exercise it and force these things to leave. So when you've done that, be thankful. You know, start to express that. Is a prayer. Father, I thank you that my conscience gateway is full of your glory. I thank you that my conscience receives and releases the flow of godliness and holiness through it in Jesus' name. My conscience will now direct my body's actions to the world. It's like, if actually that's not your experience, start calling things that be not as if they were. And give God thanks anyway. Because the more you thank God for what will to be, the more it's going to happen. You know, we need to learn how to use our declarations of faith to change our future, which we can do. You need to be persistent. Don't expect things just to give in. You know, they've been there a long time, some of them. It's like these patterns of behavior and thinking have been there a long time. Therefore, it takes time sometimes to break them down, but they will go if you persevere. Imagination gateway is a key, because that's where God starts to project his images. So in dealing with that, we have to deal with the images that we've seen. So I know Ian Clayton talks about using the blood of Jesus like a paintbrush to obliterate negative images. And when I looked at this in an area of my life, I had thousands of negative images. Now, because I've obliterated them, I can't even remember them. They don't even exist in my memory anymore. You know, God cleanses memories. You know, I went through a lot of trauma in certain areas of my life, and I'd forgiven people and done a lot of things on it, but the memories were still there. And God showed me the memories are like scar tissue. They're healed, but you can still see it. So I'd rather that I didn't have any scars. So there were some things I prayed through, and I was listening to a message by Joan Hunter, who's a healing minister, and she talks about healing of the memories, and I was listening to a CD of hers, and at the end, it just a simple prayer, and it was like, I prayed this prayer at the end of it, didn't feel a thing, and couldn't remember anything. It was like I had a hole in my head. Literally, a whole area of my memory was completely removed. And guess what? That was able to be filled by good, positive things. Because the more junk you've got in there, the harder it is for the truth to be in there. And literally, your memories can be cleansed. Those things I can't remember. You know, and I don't even want to remember them. So I'm not even going to go fishing for anything. I don't want to remember those negative things. They're gone, which is awesome. That can be all our experience. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, bring every thought captive to obedient to Christ. We have to deal with our thinking. It's our thinking which is a big problem for us. We allow our thoughts to go down into fear. We allow our thoughts to go down into insecurity or into rejection. Those are where the patterns of familiar spirits operate. A thought, something triggers something, you thought, and then you don't take captive the thought, and you end up going down a pattern of behaviour that ends up in a mess. If you take captive the thoughts immediately, because the enemy doesn't stop just giving you thoughts, you still have to deal with them. After a while, he gives up. You know, there are thoughts that I used to struggle with. I never struggle anymore because the enemy knows he's got no power in that area. He'll try something else. So I encourage you to take captive your thoughts. Imagination gateway, deal with the images, acknowledge those things in your life. Don't hold back. If it's sin, repent. Take the blood of Jesus and blot it out. That's how it works. Your subconscious really is the heart, the soil of the heart. And it says in the parable of the sower that the heart has hard areas. If there are hard areas because you've been trodden on and you've been hurt by people and therefore it's become hard and the seeds won't go in, you have to get those dug up. So you have to ask God to dig up those hard areas, which actually makes you vulnerable. But I'd rather be vulnerable than hard. Because God can protect me, where if I'm hard, his word can enter my heart. There may be stones, which are memories of the past, which stop the word of God producing fruit. There may be weeds, worries, thoughts, concerns, that we have to deal with in the soil of our heart. Deal with strongholds, patterns of thinking which lock you into the past, mindsets, beliefs. I actually renounce all sorts of mindsets, all sorts of false doctrine, all sorts of things that I've been brought up. I was brought up in the Methodist church and I went into Brethren church, big move, mistake. And then I got baptized in the Holy Spirit in the Brethren church. Can you believe that? That was an interesting one. There's a funny story. It's like our Sunday evening meeting, sometimes we didn't have a speaker and they were open meetings. And it's like we're open, we all sat there, no one was moving, and it's like God kicked me out of my seat and got me up, and I actually gave my testimony and preached on the baptism of the Holy Spirit and how God had done this and speaking in tongues a whole lot. It was silent. Absolutely silent. And it's like I went out, it was like people didn't know where to look. It was so funny. And then this old guy, he shook my hand, he said, "That experience happened to me, my boy." But, praise God. I didn't stay there that much longer. And you can pray, you know, "Father, I release the glory of God into my unconscious, subconscious mind to purge those memories, to cleanse it, to receive supernatural revelation of your word to change me." You know, just start focusing on this stuff. You know, there are lots of different prayers I've got here to release the life of God into it. Also look at your body gates, your eye gates. You know, this is a prayer. "Father, today in Jesus' name, I release the flow of glory through the gateway of first love, the gateway of revelation, into the gate of my imagination and out through the gateway of my eyes, that I might see into the kingdom of heaven, be renewed in spiritual sight, may see, my eyes may become like flames of fire to the demonic world as I reflect the glory of God from the inside." The enemy will be scared of you when you start manifesting the glory of God. When you can see what he's doing in the world, he'll run. You know, the enemy actually is a coward. When you stand up in authority, he backs off. Because he'd rather run than be sent to where he needs to go. So some of it is we just need to realize who we are. We have flames of fire coming out of our eyes. And the sword of the Spirit coming out of our mouth. We have the power to put the enemy to flight. We don't need to be intimidated by him. He's under our feet. Let's crush him down there and keep him down there and start doing the stuff that God's called us to do. Lots of other gateways there that we need to flow again from the inside out. How to keep a gateway flowing? Make sure you keep short accounts with God. Confess and repent as soon as you enter into any sin or any error. As soon as your conscience directs you, when your conscience gets strong, it will protect you into getting into sin. That's what it should do. The conscience is there to stop us getting into sin, not just tell us when we've got into it. But better it tells us when we get into it so that we can repent quickly and make sure there's nothing going to hinder or block. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit for those convictions and those intuitions and those warnings that start to happen when this flow of the Spirit unblocks. Because you'll start to get guided and directed in ways you don't imagine right now. You know, some things that God's directed me into, I couldn't have imagined. It was like he's told me things that before I would have never seen. But because I'm becoming more sensitive, I can start to see things and flow in those things. Spend as much time as you can praying in tongues. It is so important. Pray on the inside, pray in your spirit, pray out loud. It's like, if I'm not doing anything else, I pray out loud in tongues. You know, in my office, when I'm doing it, I pray out loud in tongues all the time. You know, when I'm not praying out loud in tongues, I'm praying in my head in tongues or in my spirit in tongues. Because it builds me up and connects me to the source of life. Real key one. The heart of God is everything flows out. I think that's probably about it for this session. But we have to practice. Hebrews 5:14, practice. Train your senses. That means your spirit senses, your soul senses, and your body senses to flow in the life and the presence and power of God. Persevere via all the time. You know, don't give up. You know, I know sometimes it's hard, but don't give up. I encourage you, get these gates open and your whole life will be transformed. You know, you will flow in the glory of God like you've never known. Daily practice. Yeah, because we want the kingdom to manifest around us. Now, every one of us has a circle of influence which we're supposed to rule in. We cannot rule unless God's kingdom is manifested. His will in heaven manifested on earth through the gateway of our life. And every one of you is called in this room is to rule, to bring God's kingdom. You know, you're supposed to be the head and not the tail. Sometimes we feel like we're being wagged at the tail like a dog. Actually, we're supposed to be one who does the wagging. You know, God's given us that sort of authority. Now, this will be good. Let's just stand and let's finish this. And I just encourage you to pray this out with me as I pray these things through. And let's pray them together, because this is basically you surrendering to this process and allowing God to do this in your life. So let's speak this out together. Father, by faith, I choose to step into your heavenly presence. Take a step forward, if you can, into the presence of God. I receive your acceptance, love, mercy, and grace. I stand in the victory of the cross, forgiven, justified, and cleansed. I thank you that you clothe me in white robes of righteousness. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Father, I choose to give you full permission to do whatever it takes to change me and transform me into the image of Jesus. I give you full permission to remove all stumbling blocks from me. I give you full permission to use whatever means you see fit to purify, refine, and restore me to my original eternal condition. Father, I choose to deny myself and surrender control of my life to you. I give you my conscience. I repent and renounce of everything that's damaged my conscience. I ask you to purify and restore my conscience, direct and protect me through my conscience by a flow of reverence and fear of the Lord. Father, I choose to deny myself and surrender control of my life to you. I give you my reason center. I repent and renounce doubt, unbelief, rationalism, skepticism, cynicism, and denial. I ask you to cleanse me of all false doctrine, philosophies, and ideas. I ask you to renew and restore my reason. Use my reason to interpret your thoughts and understand your ways. Father, I choose to deny myself and surrender control of my life to you. I give you my imagination. I repent and renounce of viewing any image that's polluted me. I ask you to blot out every negative image with the blood of Jesus, purify and restore my imagination, restore my screen, vision, and revelation. Father, I choose to deny myself and surrender control of my life to you. I give you my heart, my subconscious mind. I repent and renounce of all strongholds, negative belief and value systems, vows, words, curses, doctrines, triggers, coping and defense mechanisms. I ask you to cleanse every negative memory, purify, restore, and reprogram my heart with your truth, values, and my destiny. Father, I choose to deny myself and surrender control of my life to you. I give you my emotions. I repent and renounce all unforgiveness, bitterness, anger. I ask you to purify and restore my emotions. Use my emotions to feel your heart and guide me through intuition. Father, I choose to deny myself and surrender control of my life to you. I give you my will. I repent and renounce all sin, rebellion, stubbornness, willfulness, control, fear, doubt, unbelief, indecision. I ask you to purify and restore my will. Restore courage, perseverance, and boldness. Use my will to enable me to do your will through obedience and true worship. Father, I surrender my spirit and soul and body to you. I declare Jesus is Lord of the gates of my life. I step back into this realm, readily available to do your will and purposes. Manifest your glory and presence in and through my life. Manifest your kingdom authority and power through me and around me. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Amen. Right, what's the time? What time do we need to finish?
Around about 5:30.
5:30, oh great. We can do another session.
What do you need?
Next session's number 4, I think.
Number 4?
Yeah, I think it's number 4. Okay. You know, I'd encourage you, use those type of declarations. You know, declare things in God. You know, just speak the truth and allow God's presence to come.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Have a little stretch.
Have a little stretch, yeah. Yeah, feel free to stretch.